Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the 23rd of April, on Anno Domini 2011, and you, oh, you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Henry.
I'm Steve Ray.
I gotcha.
You did. And at 3 minutes after the hour, I would like to start out the show by saying happy birthday to my friend Willie. Yes, it is William Shakespeare's birthday today. And you people out there, you never call, you never write, you never send him flowers, but it is his birthday.
I'm surprised Google doesn't have a doodle for it.
I know. But I do want to thank all of you for, your very generous contributions last week. We are still in the pledge drive, and we whooped the polka dots butts last week. And we can do it again this week because they only took in $70 this week. They only took in $70, so we can do it again. 2 weeks in a row, we can do it. You don't have to make a huge pledge. Somebody would like to pledge $71. That would be terrific. But you know the drill by now. There are lots of levels you can pledge at, and all it takes is a couple of minutes of your time to become a member of the Soundbites family. Give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or toll free at 1-800-790-0415. And as you know, I'm sure there's a bunch of you out there who are members of the family, and we want to thank each and every one of you. Now, for the rest of you, it is time to step up. It is time to stand on your own 2 feet and make that phone call. It doesn't have to be for the $100 level. It doesn't even have to be for $71 level. And we'd really like you to give us a call and make that pledge. Of course, this is also the number you can call if you have a computer question. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299, or toll free at 1-800-790-0415. Remember, for those of you who are pledging securely online at jazz901.org, make sure you put in the comments field that it's for Soundbites.
Now, say, look at all the other famous birthdays today. George Lopez is 50. Valerie Bertinelli is 51.
Yeah, she is.
I remember lusting after her when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Max Planck would be 153 today. Roy Orbison,
and
Lee Majors, Joyce.
That's not constant. It changes every year.
It changes every year. Yeah, Joyce DeWitt is 62.
There you go. Now I'm old. Yeah. Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Who's tomorrow? Jean-Paul Gaultier. Barbara Streisand is 68 tomorrow. Shirley MacLaine is 76. Shirley Temple is 83 today.
Yeah.
That's who my wife was named after.
Excellent.
It's, you know, usually when you find names, it's a big...
Does she tap dance like that?
No. Thank God.
All right. A new end of support countdown gadget focuses the mind on the fact that XP is being forcibly retired. It is a wake-up call to think hard about the unpleasant situation and consider the alternatives. The all-new Windows XP end of support countdown gadget is now available from the Microsoft download site. To quote the site, looking to get off Windows XP, use this handy gadget to count down the number of days until Windows XP end of support in 2014. It installs as a desktop gadget, and it slowly ticks away the time that XP has left to live. Clearly, Microsoft thinks this is something for you to contemplate, and if you make the gadget bigger, it gives you the button to press to visit a website that will help wean you off your dependence on old technology. Of course, being a desktop gadget, it only works on Windows 7 or Vista, so you can only view the countdown if you've actually solved the problem and moved on from Windows XP. Brilliant.
Which
geniuses
you don't
at Microsoft.
Need to know that then.
Geniuses, yeah, really. At Microsoft. I've never denied geniuses at Microsoft. In order to get off XP, you have to already be off XP. Microsoft.
Really?
Yeah. Unbelievable. Microsoft is very eager to get users off XP and onto Windows 7, but the only pressure they can apply is to deny the older operating system the advantages of its new technology, notably IE9 and Windows Media Player, assuming that's your idea of a good time. It has even extended the denial of support to Windows Vista in that IE10 will only run on Windows 7. Of course, this also has the obvious effect of driving users to run Firefox or Chrome. One of the huge advantages of adopting an open-source operating system is to avoid such nonsense as the forcing of obsolescence on technology. For example, upgrade to the latest Ubuntu, for example, and that's not an issue because it's free. And if the hardware won't go, there, you just stick with the old version, safe in the knowledge that developers aren't actively trying to find reasons to make their latest offerings not run on it. Then there's the small matter of the activation codes and the activation servers that Microsoft has to provide to make it all work. Windows XP is the first such operating system for Microsoft to reach the end of support state. Given that you can no longer buy XP, will it still be okay to activate newly installed copies once support ceases? It seems unlikely that Microsoft would turn off the activation service close to the end of support. Well, what about 10 years after that? Currently, if you have a copy of Windows 98, 95, or even earlier, you can install it if you have no brain. If you have the right hardware. This might not be the case with XP, and what does this mean for digital history? So as you watch the countdown to XP's death tick by thinking about the problems created by using software that actually belongs to someone else. So our poll of the week at soundbites.org, that's bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you, Microsoft is counting down to the death of XP. The choices are, oh, no, don't take away my XP. Meh, moved on long ago. This might actually get me to replace that old gateway. And, oh, you poor benighted Windows users. So far, on our poll, we have 52 people who've voted in the poll. And most of them are 60% of you said, oh, no, don't take away my XP. So I know that a lot of our listeners are still using XP. But, of course, I know that you will have more to say than just clicking a button in a poll. So once you're done with the poll, please check out the yellow box underneath. Click on Give Us Your Opinion. It will take you to my website, AskNick.com.
That's AskNick.com.
Where you can enter your opinion. The question, of course, is how do you feel about Microsoft killing off Windows? Should say Windows XP, actually. But that's all right.
Can you try Eastern.tv on your computer? I don't think it'll matter, but Rob wants to know.
Sure. Nope, can't get there.
Well, I had another client, though.
Before you go on, let me tell people what's going on. For those of you who can't get the U stream, we seem to be having a little trouble getting to it once we do, will be more than happy to put the stream back up again. Sorry, go ahead, Dave.
Oh, no, sorry. No, I had a client in just this past week, still had Windows 98.
Yeah.
And was getting, you know, ticked off because, well, what do you mean? You know, I can't get updates. Well, hello, it's 98. This is 2011.
Yeah, it's a big issue. Exactly. We were talking about that a little bit in Soundbites last night, and Soundbites in Second Life last night. There's federal consumer protection laws that require companies to maintain backward compatibility and spare parts for a certain number of years, and we see that a lot in Apple service that I do a lot of, and it seems to be 5 years is the limit. If your computer is more than 5 years old, Apple stops making parts for it, unless you live in California, and then it's 8 years. So it's interesting when computer lives move so fast, and we talk about you know, dogs have seven year per dog year. You know, computers are probably 50 per human year.
Right. Reality is that XP has been around a lot longer than 8 years. So.
Right, so we don't think Microsoft is going to run afoul of any laws, because there are a lot of people talking about class action suits trying to sue them for blocking it.
No.
Because you bought and paid for it. And that's the misnomer. You bought and paid for a license to use the software. You didn't actually buy the software.
Right, that's exactly right. All right, we're going to go on to our first call of the day. It's Ed from Ithaca, New York. Welcome, Ed. What's your question?
Hi. We have both Mac and PC at the house. And I want to get an external hard drive that we can use for backup. And I'm wondering if we can use the same drive for both computers.
Why not?
Yeah, short answer is yes. If you want to move the hard drive from computer to computer to computer, you can partition the drive into half Mac and half Windows. So the Mac half would be in the HFS Plus format, and the Windows half would be in the NTFS format. Or you can even connect the drive to one computer and then back up through your network, share that drive out to the network. That's a little more convenient, so you don't have to carry the drives around, but it does take a little bit more setup.
Yeah, we don't have a network, though.
If all the machines can get to the internet, you do have a network.
Yeah. Yeah, if you've got a hub, you could get it like a Buffalo drive. It's a network hard drive.
Yeah, there's hard drives that connect directly to your network.
Yeah,
as well.
you know how on the back of that modem or the cable modem, if you've got, say, the computer's all in one room or one's wireless, there's openings in the back. You can literally take this little drive that's a network drive, plug it in. It's got its own address. It'll get its own address. So both the Mac and the PC can both see it, and you can then back files up to that.
Uh-huh.
It's a lot easier.
Okay. Great. Well, thank you so much.
Thanks, Ed.
And I am a member.
That's what I was going to ask. Thank you very much. Yes, we are still in a membership drive. It's real easy to become a member of the Soundbites family here and a member of the bigger Jazz 90.1 family. All you have to do is call 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 1-800-790-0415. Or, of course, you can pledge securely online at jazz901.com. .org. We're very close to our goal. The minute we reach it, we stop asking for money. Please give us a call. Make a pledge. We need to beat the Polka Dot guys 2 weeks in a row. We can do this, folks.
That would be
it's only $70. They made $70 today. We need to make $71. That's what we need to make to beat the Polka guys. So please, you were so generous last week, and there are a bunch more of you out there who really want to become members. I know you do. Break through that last little bit of resistance. Do what your heart is telling you to do and make the call. It takes less than 2 minutes. You'll feel so much better for it. You'll feel so smug. Instead of getting angry that we're still asking for money, the reason you're angry, of course, is because you haven't pledged yet. Mm-hmm. People who have pledged are just smug about it. So get rid of your anger and become smug. Call 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415. Pledge securely online at jazz901.org. And join the family of smug here at Jazz 90.1.
One other thing we got to point out, especially a lot of folks have just finished up with tax time.
Yep.
You know, and if you're sitting there looking because you waited until the last minute to file because, you owe money. You know, here's a good way out because, you know, if you're owing quite a bit of money and you're looking for more tax deductions, signing up or renewing your membership, even increasing it, could really help you out. I mean, so you're not paying that much more to the government because,
next year.
Yeah, next year, owe them less. You know, I mean, and you get the membership card, which entitles you to additional discounts. When you go down that list of other vendors that are participants, like, Enright and Deary PC. You bring in your PC, show your card, wham, you're getting a discount. And there's a lot of other great places that you can show that card, and you're going to save more money.
You know, there are a number of you out there who own small businesses. Make a contribution in the name of your business. Take that off the corporate taxes.
Yeah.
And all those of you who are out there, I know that there are local computer stores in town that play us during the day. Why are you not members?
Mm-hmm.
That would be delightful. It's real easy to do, real fast, real simple.
All you got to do is pick up the phone and dial
454-454.
That's
my other number. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 1-800-790-0415. Or pledge securely online at jazz901.org. Cheese and crackers.
You're taking pledges at school now, right?
Apparently I'm taking pledges everywhere.
Wrong school.
Exactly.
The school on Nick.
Help me out. For God's sake, help me out. Just make a call so I don't have to keep repeating these numbers and I can rest my little brain. Please, please, I beg you. I beg you, help us out. All we need is $71. Somebody call in and make the $71 pledge so that we're ahead of the Polka guys. We need this help. You have no idea how much of this help we need. So please give us a call. If you wanted to check it out, you go to jazz901.org. And you'll see that the we only have $10,000 left on our goal, $10,130. So if you could do that, that would be terrific. I don't expect anybody to give us the $10,000. What I do hope is that, well, that would be all right. First $10,000 phone call not only gets a date with Rob, but I'll come over to your house and dance.
You know, also, if they go for the $750, you know, pledge.
Yep.
You know, we're offering that you can come on and do your own jazz show, 3-hour time slot, along with, you know, the Soundbites program.
Yep. That's exactly right. And remember, at that at the $750 level, you get a date with Rob Linton as part of the deal. At the $1,000 level, you get the opportunity to turn down a date with Rob Linton. So really, that's the better deal when you get down to it. But there's lots of levels, and we're not asking you to pledge at a level. If you want to pledge at if you want to pledge $5, $10, we'll take whatever you've got. We're happy to make you a member of the family. There's no specific dollar amount you have to give. Well, at this point it's Steve, so ask Steve about the membership levels and what you get at each level if you want to pledge at a level. But our main goal here, frankly, the goal of this station has always been to stop asking for money. So all we have to do is reach our goal and we'll stop asking. So please, please reach into your pockets. I know all the excuses. We've all heard them. We all know what they are. But the reality is we're not asking for a lot and we're not asking for the moon. We're just asking you to join the family at Jazz 90.1 and here at Soundbites. We're going to take a quick break back in just a couple of minutes. Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It's 19 minutes after the hour. We're Soundbites right here on
member-supported
Jazz 90.1.
Computer talk you can understand. More Soundbites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Sid O'Connor, join me Sunday mornings from 7 until noon right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
He's Steve Ray. He's busy taking a pledge. That's way more important than mentioning his name on the air. I really want to thank Fred and Mark. Classically, I suppose that would be Mark the Lesser, but we don't think of him as Lesser. We think of him as Mark.
Fantastic for stepping
up. Fantastic Mark. God bless both of you. And our friend of the show, D. God love you, D. Aren't you a sweetheart?
She is a sweetie.
Steve is taking another one even as we speak. I must tell you, I have to say this. I do. I know I shouldn't, but I take this personally. When we do the pledge drives, I take it personally. And I get so happy when you folks step up and are so generous with your time and your money and open your hearts to this station the way you do. I cannot begin to thank you enough because it is a truly generous and wonderful thing that you do. And I'm honored and pleased and thrilled all at the same time. And I want to, colleague Ned, I thank you. It's great. Don't stop calling, but thank you so much.
You know what? We just might, because of our strong listeners, you know, and doing this 21 years, I mean, you know, granted the Polka guys beat us right out of the box, you know, and boom, strong numbers, and we didn't even come close. Yeah. But, you know, longevity-wise, our folks are constantly, each week now, calling in, showing their support, where the others have dropped off. Soundbites listeners are still calling in with their pledges, and which is really helping us.
Yeah, we had a report. We'd like to thank Norm for his generous donation.
Norm!
And he's also told us that the 5299 number is not working, so you need to use the 800 number, 800-790-0415. And if anyone from the school is listening, maybe they'll be able to fix the 5299 number.
Well, try it again. Just see.
Maybe. Well, if the
966-5299.
If the number's busy, it forwards to the school somewhere. We don't know.
Right. So if you can't get through, Steve's got another one waiting. I'm so thrilled. Fred and Mark and Dee and Norm, thank you so much. We've got somebody else on the line who's making a pledge. Don't be the last one. You got to call up now. The numbers are 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299.
This would really be sweet to beat the Poker Guys two weeks in a row.
Yes! I'm like I say, he's a schoolgirl.
Long,
right now. I love this.
We go for the long haul. Granted, we don't do the big spurts like they do. You know, they usually have a quick couple strong weeks. And, you know, right. We're slowly creeping along, and I love it. It is so cool.
That's right. Slow and steady wins the race.
Our great listeners.
While we're waiting to take more pledges, let me make the next. Let me do the next news item. Apple iPhones and 3G iPads are secretly recording and storing details of all their owners' movements. Researchers claim location data are kept in a hidden, unencrypted file. With the right software, it can be used to map exactly where a person has been. Apple has yet to comment on the revelation. However, there is no suggestion that it has been uploading or using the information. The findings will come as a surprise to most iPhone users, as their devices do not give any visual indication that such data is being recorded. However, although the practice is not explicitly flagged up, it appears to be covered in the company's terms of use. And I quote, "We may collect information such as occupation, language, zip code, area code, unique identifier, location, and the time zone where an Apple product is used, so that we can better understand customer behavior and improve our product, services, and advertising." The facility to record users' positions was apparently added with the iOS 4, not the one from Cisco, software update released in June 2010. The data are also transferred to the owner's computer and stored in a file there each time the two devices are connected to carry out a backup or synchronization. The data are stored in an unencrypted SQLite file on the device, where a copy of the file is regularly backed up by Apple's iTunes during synchronization, then saved on the device owner's Windows PC or Mac. It's an object lesson about reading the terms and conditions. Senator Al Franken, Democrat of Minnesota, who chairs a new privacy panel set up in February, asked Apple to explain why its iPhones are tracking users' locations. Anyone who gains access to this single file could likely determine the location of a user's home, the businesses he frequents, the doctors he visits, the schools his children attend, and the trips he has taken over the past month or even a year, said Franken in the letter to Jobs. Additionally, the letter asked why the data were not encrypted and why Apple did not seek affirmative consent from users before logging the locations. The Federal Communications Commission is also reportedly looking into the matter. Representative Jay Inslee, Democrat of Washington, also took a shot at Apple, saying he was deeply disturbed by the news and promised to ask his own questions of the Cupertino, California company. What do you think about Apple tracking where you go with your phone? Give us a call. It's 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free at 1-800-790-0415. And, of course, you can pledge securely online at jazz901.org. We also want to thank Robert for his generous donation. Thank you so very, very much. We're just honored and delighted. Sorry, I was just writing that down. I can't tell you how much we appreciate that. We are in a membership drive. We are looking to complete. I think it's no surprise that we've beaten the polka guys, but now we can grind their faces in.
We got it.
And we need to do that.
We got momentum going.
I personally am so grateful to you.
And, you know, it's through this that, you know, one, they're accomplishing two things. One, we're really grinding it in good to the polka guys, which, and again, folks,
we love the polka guys.
Yes,
they love us.
It's all in fun. It's all in fun. Al and Ray are fantastic guys, and we do this all in fun. Don't take offense to it. This is radio, and we kid around, and we have a ball. They're our best friends, and, you know, so don't take it that way, but, you know, it's a chance for us. Since we're the new guys on the block, this June, we're coming up on 2 years that we've been here.
And they've been here 26, I think.
26 years. And, you know, it's nice that we can come in and show them, you know, our listeners are so dedicated to our, you know, program that, you know, they support us. And they do it over the long haul. So we're slowly whittling away at this $10,000 that's left. You know, and the sooner we get it down to, you know, and get it paid, boom, we're off. We're back taking questions, you know, and everything else. And
Those of you who have not pledged, no longer have your consciences bothering you, you know who you are. I'm sorry, did I say that out loud? I apologize. Yeah.
Well, I got to admit, you know, it's like when I do Thursday nights from 6 to 9 playing jazz. And, you know, I'd rather just be playing straight jazz. I've got it to where now I've got folks calling in requesting songs. But because I'm in the middle of the pledge drive, I've got to take a little more time, which means maybe a less song or something else, because, you know, I got to keep promoting this pledge drive. So So, you know, by this, you know, you folks calling in and pledging, it just helps us all the way around, not only this program, but all the other great programs that are brought to you. And, matter of fact, I want to remind you of another one coming up. Another local group here in Rochester was supposed to play here last month. But on May 4th, it's just in 2 weeks, folks, the White Hots. They're a local group here.
Oh, yeah.
They play. Matter of fact, Tina Albright is going to be singing with them. And that's going to be live here from 8 to 9 on May 4th. And it's a live concert. No other jazz station does this. You know, we're one of eight stations left that plays jazz 24/7.
And we're the only station that carries sound bites.
Yes, we are. And we've been on 21 years, coming up on 22. So please, you know, pick up the phones and dial 585-966-5299, toll free 1-800-790-0415, or tell you what, keep Rob busy. He just, you know, is sitting around lounging on his butt at home. Get him off his butt and go to the webpage, jazz901.org, and securely pledge there. I'd love
but
to.
But remember, in the comments, put say it for it's for sound bites.
Yep, please.
Yeah, we're, I can't, like I said before, I'm giddy as a schoolgirl. I can't thank you all enough. Very, very wonderful that you folks have pledged. Did I mention Jim yet? Jim. Jim has also pledged. Thank you so very much, Jim. We appreciate it. We're ahead of the polka guys, and now it's time to grind their faces in. We can do it. I know we can do it. You can, you make the difference. It's not us. When I say we, I don't mean the three of us. I mean the all of us, all of you folks listening out there. You're the ones who make this possible. You're the ones who make this whole station possible. You can proudly say that's my radio station on the air. That's you folks doing this. The pride that you feel in this station is justified because you're the folks who keep it on the air. Nobody else. We don't get federal money. We don't get state money. We don't get county money. We don't get city money. We don't get local money. We don't get any money from anybody but you. This is your station. You keep it on the air. This is how you do it. Make the call 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299 or toll free 1-800-790-0415. Pledge securely online at jazz901.org and keep your radio station on the air. That's why we're here. And thank you so very much for those of you who have so generously pledged. We can't tell you how much we appreciate it. It's great.
Well, plus the amount of money that, you know, we save folks week to week answering computer questions.
That's right.
You know, week after week, we're, you know, constantly recommending this, doing this. I mean, the security tango. Just coming up with those programs and the time that, you know, it took all of us, you know, the three of us here to find programs that are going to work successfully for you.
Right.
In other words, we're making recommendations, not just off the top of our head. You know, I try them out on my machine. If it blows it up or destroys it, I don't care. But I do it so I can sit there and recommend a program that I know is going to work and that I turn around and use them in my shop.
And let's not forget, the security tango is not just for Windows machines. The tango actually involves the Windows Waltz, the Linux Lambada, the Android Allemand, and of course, the Mac Arena. Yeah.
No, I got a Czech Pony.
Oh, yeah, nothing wrong, nothing like that. Man, I got one last week that I just could not get rid of.
Oh, I got a Charlie horse in the middle of the night that literally jumped me right out of bed.
Yep.
Whoa!
Yep, yep.
My grandmother will always say, you know, turn around to me and say, you're lacking something in your diet.
Potassium. Eat more bananas. Of course, that causes other problems, particularly at our age, but that's what you need. Yeah.
If it ain't one problem, it's another.
That ain't the truth. Yes, sirree, Babaroni.
Does it affect one end, it'll affect the other?
Yes, it will. Yes, it will.
Gotcha.
Oh, yes, it will. But that's okay. Now, listen, people have been talking about this Apple business, Apple stealing their data. They're not stealing their data. They are saving those data, and they are putting them in that unencrypted file. And I think that's where the problem comes. If you want to read some of my thoughts, I did a blog post at droidlust.com. That's droidlust.com if you want to go read that. But one thing I didn't mention there, where this really is a problem is when you come up against personal information. If somebody having it on your phone may not be a big deal. Having it on your iPad may not be a big deal, depending on who gets their hands on your iPad. But once you put it on your computer, particularly on a Windows computer, who knows who's stealing it off of that thing? I'll guarantee you there are people right now who are writing virus Trojan things specifically designed to grab those data. Here's where I really think the problem lies. Well, it's multiple things. The big problem is this was disrespectful. Yeah, there's something theoretically in the end user license agreement that says they're going to do this. But the reality is when it's something that's this private, people should have to opt in before those data are kept. And we really hold Apple to a higher standard. We expect more of them. We expect better of them. And they didn't give it to us this time. We expect them to be of a higher standard, and they weren't. So they were disrespectful to people. Not only did they not let them opt in, there's not even a way to opt out. Here's where it comes down to a problem. What if you're going to a specific doctor regularly? You've got something that you don't want other people to know about. Maybe it's a social disease. Maybe it's a cancer or something else. And you just don't want people to know about it. But those information are being gathered every time you go there. That's a violation of privacy, and it's probably a HIPAA violation on top of everything else. So that's where the real problem comes in, and I think that that Apple has done us all a disservice. We expect better of them, and we're finding out now they're no better than anybody else, and I think that's really where the problem comes here.
As a workaround, you can, in iTunes, set it to encrypt your iTunes backup. So this file is actually saved on your computer. You can tell it to encrypt it on the computer so no one can get into it. And a couple of blog posters seem to think it was just a bug on Apple's part and it will be fixed in the next version.
It is a bug that they actually created a file and saved data?
That it didn't get deleted.
Oh, maybe, yeah. All right, we're going to take a break. Back in just a couple of minutes. Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 39 minutes after the hour, and you're listening to Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more sound bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And at 43 minutes after the hour, we are sound bites. Remember, we're in the middle of a pledge drive. You can give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or toll-free at 1-800-790-0415. You can pledge securely online at jazz901.org. And, of course, those are also the phone numbers you use to ask us a question, like Phil did from Hilton, New York. And Phil seems to have disappeared.
Try back, Phil.
Please call back, Phil. I don't know what happened there, except there's a certain amount of confusion in the studio today.
What?
With the phone system?
No, I transferred. Yeah,
the phone
system
is confusing anyway.
Well, I think, I don't know what's going on, but yeah, we transferred him over, and then somebody else was saying that the 966-5299 doesn't work. Well, if it wasn't working, people wouldn't be able to call in.
Yeah. Please call back, Phil. We apologize.
It's out of my control. I just do with what I have to work with.
Yeah, that's exactly right. But in the meantime, I'll read the news.
Oh, one other thing I want to thank. Darcy actually called in and said for my Chuck Pony to use magnesium. So I'm going to give that a shot.
Is there anything that woman does not know?
I don't know. But, hey, I'll try it. You know, what the hey?
Holy mother of pearl. God bless
her. She's good.
She's good.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Amazon on Wednesday announced Kindle Library Lending, a program that will let Kindle users borrow books from more than 11,000 libraries in the United States. The program follows Amazon's person-to-person Kindle book lending feature that debuted at the end of 2010 and addresses long-running concerns that e-readers like the Kindle would bypass libraries entirely. In the program, users will be able to check out Kindle books from their local library and then add notes and highlights, which are synced to the user's Kindle account. If the book is re-rented or purchased, all the annotations and highlighted passages are retained. They do not pass from user to user. Kindle book lending will be powered by Overdrive, a cross-platform e-book, audiobook, and media lending platform that runs on Mac, Windows, Android, BlackBerry, iOS, not the one from Cisco, and Windows Mobile. Overdrive Media supplies more than 500,000 pieces of content to libraries schools and retailers worldwide. While the overdrive lending experience can already be had on mobile and desktop devices, this will be the first time the platform is extended directly onto a dedicated e-reader. Sony, meanwhile, has been slowly building its reader library program, which launched last year to, in the words of Sony Reader Vice President Phil Lubel, provide librarians with additional resources, enabling them to inform and demonstrate to patrons how to benefit from their growing ebook collection. Sony's program is currently in place in only about 60 libraries across the United States. Overdrive Media says it's in place in over 13,000 libraries and retailers worldwide. So our question to you, does this bring you one step closer to a Kindle? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299 or toll free, 1-800-790-0415.
One thing, I don't know if Steve's seen it in his shop, but there's a new Trojan that's going out. And the best I can say is it's an SOB. And that's putting it politely. Basically, what it is it throws up a screen that says to install or run this Windows Internet Security. And it puts up a real nice... And basically, what it's already done is hidden all the folders, all your administrative folders and everything else that you try to... And you've got to go in folder by folder.
And turn the invisible bits on.
Turn everything back on. One folder at a time. We just discovered that this past week we've now got three of them in the shop. I'm still looking for a utility that will go in and reset everything. But as it is stands right now, I have not found anything. But stay tuned because that's why you folks listen to this show because we make you aware of certain issues that are coming up. Or what's happening to them. And we don't just sit there and say, well, yeah, there's this, this, and this. We go the extra mile and turn around and, find a remedy for you. And that's my job this week is to sit there and further do investigation and then come back to you folks, by next week, or if not, put it up on the Soundbites website of other things that can help you avoid this one because it is a nasty one. And it is a pain in the butt to get out. There's just no way around it. And, again, somebody else was telling me, well, I just had it in here a month ago and it's reinfected. It's a game of leapfrog, folks. We, clean them up. They go jump over us.
Isn't there a batch file you could write or something?
Well, it needs to do more.
Yeah.
It's... you'd have to see it. I mean,
yeah, they're really... not easy anymore.
Yeah, this one, Dan and I, literally, because it was new, this client, we gave him a break because we were learning on their machine. It took us a little longer to clean it up, but we also explained to him. Yes, it took us a little longer than normal because we quote him at a certain time. But guess what? We saved you quite a bit of money because if we had charged you what we normally would have, you would have been and they were, no problem. Thank you very much. We're happy. And, but, it's an ongoing battle, and that's why places like Steve and I and, the rest of the shops around here are in business because these other idiots out there that just keep raising this stuff and people just go ahead and click, yep, without reading.
And the bad guys are actually getting smarter, which makes the good guys have to work harder, which is very annoying. We used to joke that, the virus writers were just kids that wanted attention.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's more and more organized crime, trying to steal money. And they're getting sophisticated. They're getting smarter. They're trained. And in fact, I was just reading about a guy that he's like a cross black-white hatter. During the day, he's a white hat. Fixing security, and at night he turns into a black hat and actually breaks into security.
Nice. Oh, another site. Now here's something on the fun side. As you folks know, Nick would say phone challenged.
You are that.
Thank you. Well, the one thing I discovered was there's another website, if you folks haven't checked it out, it's called phonezoo.com. And you can get a lot of free ringtones. My brother happened to tell me about it, Kevin, because we're up seeing my dad last night. Was it last night? Yeah, yesterday afternoon in the hospital, seeing my dad. And his phone goes off, and it goes to text. And all of a sudden, it breaks out in the Tarzan call. And this thing is loud. The people out in the, the central hub area hear his phone go off, and they're looking around. And he goes, what the heck is that? He goes, oh, I put that one to a certain individual without mentioning names. I was ready to pee my pants. It was so damn funny, but he told me who it was for. I says, where did you get these? So he told me. And, of course, I found a Harley one for me.
Of course you did.
So now when text messages come in, gets a Harley sound and other individuals. I even found one for my sister. My sister Sue calls quite a bit. I found one. Your sister's calling you. Pick up the phone. Your sister's calling you. Pick up. And these others, they're really cool. So it makes it fun just to be able to download. And they're all free. You can get a lot of them down, you know, download for free. One word of caution. You got to watch it. Because when you're downloading, sometimes when you say download, send it right to your phone, they put up this other ad that wants you to put in your phone number again. And it's for this paid service.
Mm-hmm.
And you can say, no, thank you. Be cautious of that. Say no thank you, because otherwise you put it in, you've just agreed.
Right.
I think it's like $9.99 a month. No. Make sure you don't opt into that one.
There's a sneaky one that goes along where you get a text message that says reply to cancel or to cancel service or reply to discontinue or something like that. And, oh, it's an ad. I'll just ignore it. And apparently they've already signed you up, and you do have to reply to cancel the service.
Wow.
So check your phone bills to make sure you're not getting caught by any of those, especially if you get junk texts, which is annoying. There's another cute website, Damn You Autocorrect, for cell phones that try to autocorrect your spelling, and you get some really crazy words that get misspelled. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've seen that one.
That I've not seen.
And I just had to reboot my computer.
There's a few we can't say in the air.
Of course.
Well, it's interesting what words it knows and what words it doesn't know. It's usually the text slang or other types of general slang that it doesn't know, but then it puts in some, you know, real word that changes the context of the message completely.
Well, I have you know, though, Nick, my brother, though, he's far more advanced in the phone system than I am. He actually has one that's got the internet and all this other stuff. It's like, he goes, you don't have one like that? I go, nope. Refuse to pay for it. I've got my iTouch. He goes, well, you know, I can get the internet. So while we're up in the hospital room, I quick said, I got it too. And I just pulled out my iTouch. He goes, what's that? And I pulled up, got on the internet. And matter of fact, I had my Sirius radio going. And I says, I can get it free just about anywhere as I go. Here I was at the U of R.
Right.
And they got free internet there. A lot of places you go, you know, instead of paying that $29 or what is it, $30-some-odd a month.
Right.
I just carry my iTouch and I load it up with all my music, which I love, you know, in the car.
Yep. Yep.
And other places that I have to go right now in my life that I just use that and play with that. And it's great. I'm loving it. I can put all the suits on. And I found one other thing I didn't realize is, Stephen, iTunes. That with the iTunes, once you pull in a CD, you know, it knows also, it'll even pull in the cover, the CD cover. That if you right-click on it, it'll sit there and say, oh, do you want to print a cover? So if
you can print your own CD.
Jewel cases.
Jewel case sleeves. Yeah. And it will do covers from different albums if you have them.
Yeah.
It automatically can add covers that from songs that Apple also sells through the iTunes store. For covers that it doesn't have, you can just paste any picture you want into it. So you can find a cover online and paste it in yourself.
Yeah, I was doing a couple of them. Matter of fact, what was it? The Santana. I got a Santana CD, Greatest Hits. And I pulled that in, and I accidentally right-clicked it, and it says, oh, do a CD cover. Oh,
yep.
Oh, cool. And opened it up. One thing I did
it's also nice for the cover flow view. For those of us that are old enough to remember leafing through album covers, iTunes has that feature, so you can leaf through the album cover. One of the craziest things I find myself doing is a song plays, and I know the album, and I know what song is supposed to be next, and I'm mad when it doesn't play next.
Yeah.
But you can have it set to shuffle by album, so it plays the whole album in a row, or shuffle by song.
Right.
So we can get those features. And that's sort of the criticism of music these days is, you know, there's one hot single on an album and the rest of it's garbage.
That's exactly right. And that's why, you know, iTunes lets you buy them by the song. All right, our next caller, Linda from Greece. Welcome, Linda. How are you today?
Good. How are you guys?
Peachy, what's your question?
Okay. My friend, son has is 14 years old. She doesn't want to buy him a laptop. She wants to buy him a netbook. But the one she saw, his Windows starter, and somebody suggested that at work, one of the guys said, well, find out if you can put Windows Home Premium on an Acer netbook. Is it advisable to do that, or should she just stay with Windows Starter?
A lot depends on what processor the netbook has in it, how much RAM it has in it. Windows Starter could be either because the netbook is underpowered and can't support a full Windows Home, or it could be that they just want to make it cheaper. Oftentimes, if you want to buy Windows Home, it's, $200 list? And you buy a netbook for $200?
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Well, this one here, I went on the web and I looked at it. It said, anytime upgrade, Windows 7 Starter to Home Premium, and it was $69. Is that garbage?
No, Microsoft does offer what they call it an in-place upgrade, so you can always buy the next higher version of Windows from the Windows that's already installed.
Uh-huh.
But you still want to check the processor and the RAM. Do you offhand remember what that is on it?
Yeah, it's got a 250-gig hard drive. It's got a 1 gigabyte of RAM, but it can be upgraded to 2 gigabytes.
Yeah, you would want that.
Well, 2 gigabytes is barely enough for Windows 7.
Right.
You know, gigabytes is better.
Yeah, well
Windows 64-bit.
Only goes as high as 2 gigs.
Right. I've ran into a few machines that have a 2-gig max.
Get 32-bit.
Yeah, only 32-bit is necessary on that, but 2 gigs of RAM is really slow for Windows 7 Home.
Windows 7 Starter, doesn't have all the bells and whistles that the mother's laptop has, and that's what the kid wants, like to be able to put his own desktop wallpaper. Windows 7 Starter doesn't have that.
Right.
Is that good for a 14-year-old, or should she save up more?
Really, in terms of what is best for him, the son, particularly if he's using it for school, he's going to want to be doing a lot of word processing, spreadsheets, graphs and things, and you want more memory, you want a faster processor, and you want a higher version of Windows. So she should really save her money and buy him a better grade of system.
It's usually cheaper if you buy it pre-configured that way rather than trying to add it on later.
Okay. So Nick, you've got Linksys. How did you get Linksys on it? Did you put it on yourself?
I put Linux on this netbook myself. And it's a small, underpowered processor for Windows. It was really painful running Windows on this thing, but Linux flies. It's fine for Linux. It flies. It's fine for Linux. But I wouldn't recommend Windows on these netbooks. I just wouldn't. They're not. They're underpowered for Windows.
You know what I didn't understand? And now Microsoft. I know Microsoft. Why they didn't make XP for netbooks only, because XP ran like crazy. Why they just didn't keep XP for just netbooks?
Well, that's a mistake on their part. The problem was they can't really figure out a way to prevent you from then putting XP on some other machine. And what they really want you to do is buy Windows 7 because it costs more. Linda, we got to go now. Thank you for your call, guys. Have fun. We're going to take a slightly longer break. I want to thank from the bottom of my heart Fred and Mark, D, Norm, Robert, and Jim for their generous donations for helping to keep this show on the air. It's you people who make this station and this show what it is, and I am very honored and grateful that you have pledged to be a member of the family. We're going to take a break, but we will be back in just a couple of minutes with a whole nother hour of Sound Bites. You're only halfway through this ordeal. We'll be back with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and all of you on Soundbites right here on the truly great, member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Before you call into our show, please make note of the following rules. 1. Turn your radio down. 2. Turn your radio down lower. 3. Remember, nobody has invented a good-sounding speakerphone yet. Don't use them. 4. Make sure you have a point. It makes for a more interesting show. 5. Calling does not guarantee you'll get on the air. No whining. 6. If you do get on the air, please do not tell the host what you just told the screener. We don't care. And 7. Is that radio turned down yet? We hope this will make for a more enjoyable program, and we thank you for your time.
Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And at 4 minutes after the hour, we're all hurtling headlong into the second hour of Soundbites. Remember, we are still in the middle of a pledge drive. You can give us a call and make a pledge at 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free at 1-800-790-0415. Of course, you can pledge securely online at jazz901.org. Just make sure you put in the comments that it's for Soundbites. Of course, those numbers are also the ones you call to get online and ask us a question, just like Vic did from Irondequoit, New York. Welcome, Vic. What's your question?
I'm kind of odd in the fact that my cell phone is used just for as a phone.
What is wrong with you?
Like me. Yeah. Well, yeah. I text also.
Now, I went to the phones of the site, and it's pretty neat. I heard a couple. I listened to a couple of the sounds, and they're nice. Now, given that my phone doesn't do anything other than ring, I can't download any of these ringtones, right?
Depends on the phone.
It depends on the phone. Can it receive an SMS?
A text message.
Most phones can at least do text messaging, SMS, and get texts. You need the next level up that will do MMS, multimedia texting, and that's generally how these ringtones get sent to you.
Okay. No, I don't. I had Verizon block everything. I don't want to get any text or anything.
Yeah, then no, you can't. Then, yeah. If that stuff is all blocked, you can't get it.
I can't get it. Okay, well, thank you very much.
Sure. That is one of the problems with these things. You have to open up your phone in order to get stuff like that.
Yeah.
Sometimes, if your phone has Bluetooth to be able to pair with ear receivers, you can send files to it from your computer.
Right.
Over Bluetooth. But if it's that basic a phone, then you probably can't send new ringtones into it.
One of the really nice things I like about the Android market is that it knows who I am, right? So I can pay for things if I buy them or whatever, which means it also knows my phone number, which means if I find some app I like in the market, I just hit the button and it immediately comes to my phone. I don't have to do another thing. Done.
Well, I think
they have a FAQ on the phone's website. They have a FAQ. That you don't need internet
FAQ
on your phone.
FAQ is frequently asked questions. You can always, on any website, look for the FAQs and look to see if your question is answered there before you start bugging them about it.
Well, it sounds like Vic could get it, but he just has to unblock some of that stuff.
Well, right. Well, it depends again on the phone, but he should certainly talk to his provider about that.
Yeah, it does come through multimedia messaging, or if you've got Bluetooth or SD card in your phone, you can still get it through your computer.
Right.
Well, I noticed on their website, the Verizon website, there's less and less
non-smartphones.
Just generic phones, just for taking phone calls. They're almost becoming something of the past.
Yeah.
I got one for my wife at Christmas from Best Buy, and it was $10.
Yep.
And it had multimedia messaging. It had games on it. It had a camera in it. And that's the $10 phone.
What I'm surprised...
has everything in it.
Well, the Sprint, the way they're advertising, no throttling. You know, I don't see any definition in there for usage. You know, and throttling other stuff.
Yeah, we talked about that.
Unlimited means unlimited.
Throttling versus overcharging.
So far, I haven't hit any of that with Verizon, thank God. I'll be gone the minute they do.
Because, yeah,
I'm not
mean,
playing that game.
Mm-mm. And, you know, I'd like to see more competition, have you?
Yeah, well, there's less competition.
Especially
Sprint just bought T-Mobile.
No, AT&T is trying to buy T-Mobile.
AT&T bought T-Mobile.
And so someone asked Verizon if they were going to buy Sprint. So one is buying four, so two should buy three.
Right.
But there's been so many mergers and so many buyouts. There's four cell phone companies in the U.S., major companies now. And if this merger finishes, we'll be down to three. So it's fewer and fewer carriers.
and they're just going to sit there and throttle us.
In terms of cell phone usage and cost and quality of the infrastructure, we're a third world country.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the rest of the civilized world has far better phone stuff than we do. It's cheaper, it's faster, it's better. Their networks are better. We're really very behind in that stuff. And I get it. We were first, so our infrastructure is older and yada, yada, yada. It's not the point. The point is it's behind.
Way behind.
And there's some interesting regulations. One of the problems in building out a cell phone network is the companies have to put up towers. And there's a lot of regulations and local planning, you know, zoning issues about putting a tower up. And apparently, I read somewhere that the cell phone companies are not allowed to share towers.
Hmm?
So,
really?
Yeah.
Why?
I forget the exact reason, but it made sense when I read it. But for competition's sake, you don't, you know, if you're AT&T, you don't want Sprint using your tower. But that means that all of the companies have to build out that much slower.
Yeah.
And put that much more stuff up.
Yeah.
Well,
and that's one of the reasons for mergers. When, for example, Verizon bought Frontier's phone business, they immediately gained all the tower coverage in Rochester, New York. In Western New York, as a matter of fact. So they immediately, doubled the number of their towers without having to build any. They just acquired the company that owned them. And that may be a large part of what AT&T is doing in buying T-Mobile. They just gain a lot more towers.
I've read a lot of blog posts about the AT&T dropping calls, especially in big cities. In San Francisco, it takes 5 years to get permits from the city to be able to put up a new tower.
Yep.
So they have virtually no chance of improving their signals in the city because
they
can't
put towers
up. Well, and
they just admitted yesterday that, in fact, Apple products, the iPhone, the iPad, are overwhelming their network.
Yep.
They actually admitted it. It's just they can't.
And that, another reason they're buying T-Mobile is to get that extra space.
Is to get that extra space. And the other thing, of course, is that apparently iPads are even heavier users than iPhones.
Get out.
Because that's,
oh, well, yeah,
well,
the
that's
internet.
Primarily internet. Yeah, yeah, the bigger screen for web browsing.
Right. Mm-hmm. For web browsing, mm-hmm, and for playing games and for downloading movies and all the things that you buy it for,
yep,
are stressing the network you're running it on.
Good point.
That's a simple reality. All right, another news item here. Speaking of Apple, a Pennsylvania man has filed suit against Apple for what he considers to be the unlawful exploitation of children and their parents' wallets via Cupertino's in-app purchasing policies. Despite the fact that Apple now requires users to enter passwords before making in-app purchases, Garen Megurian says that minors can still easily make purchases on their parents' accounts. Minors 13 and older are permitted to open their own Apple accounts, and minors younger than 13 may purchase game currency by using their parents' general Apple password. No special Apple password is required to purchase game currency, according to the suit, which was filed in a North California district court. Since the passwords for in-app purchases are the same as the main Apple passwords, kids who are aware of such password may purchase game currency without authorization from their parents for that purpose, Megurian argued. Megurian's 9-year-old daughter racked up about $200 in in-app purchases while playing games like Zombie Cafe, Treasure Story, and City Story. Megurian says he was completely unaware that these games included in-game currency, and was shocked to find the charges on his account. Shocked, I say. According to receipts submitted in the lawsuit, his daughter made her purchases in February before Apple's in-app purchase requirement went into effect in March. Apple's in-app purchase policies got attention when lawmakers asked the Federal Trade Commission to examine in-app purchases and determine whether or not consumers were being unfairly charged. They pointed to a Washington Post article that discussed an 8-year-old who had racked up $1,400 in in-game charges via Capcom's Smurfs Village game. $1,400 worth of Smurfs.
Smurf berries.
Smurf berries, exactly.
You buy a wheelbarrow for $100.
Yep. And Steve knows this because he plays it all the time. He's got a thing for
Smurfette.
Actually,
my son does play Zombie Cafe.
See? He's had a thing for Smurfette since the late 70s.
Zombies are cheap labor.
Wait a minute.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't have to pay them, and they don't eat much except brains.
The FTC said is it examining the issue, but Apple's iOS 4.3 fixed the problem for App Store apps. Google added in-app billing to Android apps in late March. Megurian is suing Apple for breach of contract and unjust enrichment, among other things. He, if you can sue people for unjust enrichment, I've got a list. He wants damages as well as attorney fees and costs. So does he deserve to win in court? Give us a call. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299.
It's a simple answer. Don't give your kid your password.
Yeah, hello.
Don't give your kid your credit card.
Why are they not taking responsibility for their own
action? But the reality is that in a lot of these cases, if you've put your password in for some legitimate reason, it remembers that for a certain amount of time.
It used to be 15 minutes, and then they dropped that to 5 minutes.
Right.
And if you had to put your password in every time you bought something, everyone else would be complaining about how annoying that is.
Well, and I get that, but it's six of one or half a dozen of the other, and what are you going to do?
Yeah.
You know, I don't know about you, but my daughter...
It used to be, you know, the kid would just go in your wallet and steal money.
You're right.
They had to physically take money out of your wallet. Right.
Now all I have to do is get a password in a moment of distraction. Well, I tell you what, since my daughter was old enough to use an iPod... I gave her leave to do that, and she could hook it up into iTunes herself, and she had the password. But she knew that I would buy her one song a week.
Yeah.
And she could have that one song a week, and anything else she bought, she paid for. And we've never, ever had... Well, she's 18 now, and I'm still buying her a song a week. I have no idea why. But still, she's either limited herself to that one song a week, or she has said, "Dad, I want to buy an album. Here's the $15 or whatever, $16, whatever it is." And we've done it that way, and there's never been a problem.
And
you know what? The reality is you're the parent. Shut up and parent.
There's a mechanism already in place on the iTunes store for giving kids allowances. So you give them a $10 allowance, and they can spend it with their own password, and you don't have to worry about it running up your bill. You just don't give your kids your password or change your password now and then if you think they might have got it.
Right. Well, but the reality is a lot of people don't know about that allowance thing.
Yeah.
It's not
advertised as well as it could be.
That's exactly right. When it just says click here for Smurfberries.
Yeah, the parents have to set up the allowance ahead of time.
Right. So you really need to be careful of those things. Apple hasn't really done something horribly Machiavellian, but... The reality is that you're the parent. Shut up and parent. We get that all the time. People call us and say, you know, what do I do? You know what?
Like Dave's story where the kid wouldn't give the parents the password.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, hello.
Unless you bought the computer with the kid's own money.
You know, I haven't seen that.
The parent's computer.
I think the parent finally woke up and took my advice because I haven't seen that one back. And she did thank me.
Yep. Well, I get that all the time at work. I can't put anything on his computer. That's right. But it's my computer. No, it's my computer. You get to use it, but we bought it.
Yep.
I get to put stuff on it. You get to use what I put on it. You want a computer with your own stuff on it? Buy your own computer.
Yeah, exactly. Hello.
I don't have a problem with that. Mm-hmm. Don't call me.
Yep. But
a lot of places are doing that, though. A lot of places are doing that now. A lot of businesses are saying, look, we virtualized all the systems on the network. So all you need is a virtual device, a thin client, right, to get to our work stuff. So you know what? Bring your own computer in. You want to get to work, bring your own computer in. You use your computer. Do anything you want on it. You can only get to our stuff through here. That's firewalled off. You can't spread a virus to my network. And when you want to work, you work. And if you want to play Zombie Cafe all day long on my dime, I'll fire you for it. But you're on your computer, and if you get a virus, I don't care.
Mm-hmm. That's a smart way to do it.
It was a great Dilbert this week on that. The boss comes into Dilbert's office and said, I think we got to virtualize everything. I've done my part by reading about virtualization in a trade journal. And a few seconds later, what's taking you so long to do your part?
Mm-hmm. I'm looking at virtualizing everything in the Saunders College. Including if I can manage it, the faculty. I mean, all of the computers. Including the labs.
Coming.
Yeah, yeah. Including the labs. and it's not inexpensive to set up, but the ROI, the return on investment, and of course, we're business school, so the ROI is important, is huge. Let's start here. What's, you know, 400 watt power supply in a computer?
Mm-hmm.
What's the average watts it draws? 150, 200 at a time?
Yeah.
Thin clients, 7 watts at full power, 1 watt on standby. Just in electric savings alone, it's an 18-month payback.
Oh, yeah.
Ridiculous. How could you not do it? So yeah, we're looking into that. It's not going to be easy from my point of view. But
the upfront cost.
The upfront costs are gigantic, but you gain it back. And more importantly, it saves us from doing a lot of things that we have to do to keep systems safe. Right now, we're running PointSec, which is a hard drive encryption product, plus McAfee, plus something called Identity Finder to keep from you know, private information, private student information being left on the computer. And that all slows it down. We can take all of that off because the data never leave our network. And so, you know, because it's not, even if you lose the thin client, I don't care. You can't get back at my network.
Oh, well, too bad.
I've lost a few $100 hard piece of equipment, which I immediately can replace, and all your data are still up on my server. Yes. I win.
That's the way Google's going with their Chromebook.
Yep.
A very thin client. Everything lives on Google. And you know, you can walk up to anybody's Google machine and type in your password, and all your stuff magically shows up.
Cloud.
You know, we laugh about the fact that we're going back to the future, right? We're stepping back to when the hard drive, when the server had everything, and it was dumb terminals and all of that stuff. But the reality is that, in fact, it was more secure then. It was easier to do things then, and I require. I'm right at the point now where I got to hire more people for the back room, or I got to virtualize everything and my people can handle it. All right, we're going to take a break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. 19 minutes after the hour. Soundbites, member supported, Jazz 90.1.
This is Rip Savage. Join me tonight from 6 to 10 on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And at 23 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites, and we are still in the pledge drive. So please, please help us rub the faces of the polka dots.
Yeah, the calls have kind of fallen off.
The calls have fallen off. We really want to thank Fred and Mark, and of course Dee and Norm and Robert and Jim, for their generous hearts and the fact that they've stepped up to the plate and donated to the cause. But it's your turn now. You've sat back long enough. You've let other people do all the work for you. It is time for you to step up and call 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free at 1-800-790-0415. I'm looking at you, Finland and Norway and England and all the other places that listen to us over the podcasts. And, of course, all of you can pledge securely online any time of the day or night at jazz901.org. Just simply say in the comments that it's for Soundbites.
You know, one thing I'd like to point out, Mother's Day is coming. And I know we have, and folks can hear it all every week, we've got a lot of women that listen to this show.
Yep.
You know, if your mom really likes it, or this particular woman in your life really likes listening to this show, at the $750 level, you get, you know, one is a tax write-off. You can put it over payments over months. But she can actually come here on the show, be part of Soundbites. We'll record it, so, you know, she'll have it for posterity, and, you know, she can sit there. Also, and pick a evening or day that she wants to come in and help program 3 hours of jazz. Rob has said that the person can come in and pick anything in the library. And, you know, we've got one heck of a library. You folks sit there, and it's a pretty good-sized room, and it is just wall-to-walla CDs, and we even have LPs.
Yep.
So anything
that's vinyl?
Yeah. We still have two of them.
And at the $1,000 level, we'll even bring you in here to sit with us for a day.
Mm-hmm.
Happy to do that.
And, you know, there's the benefit membership card.
Yep. But at every level, at any level, mm-hmm. What a great gift for Mom.
Yeah.
Hey, Mom, we know you listen to this station. We know you listen to Soundbites. You're a member. This is your show. You get to be part of this now. You can feel smug like everybody else. At any membership level, you can give it in the name of your mom, your dad, your dog, whatever you like. We'll be happy to take that pledge. And we do need you to call in. We want this pledge to end as much as you do. All you have to do is make the call. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free at 1-800-790-0415. Pledge securely online at jazz901.org.
And Father's Day is coming up in June. It's not that far. You know, you can already have that gift already tucked away and surprise them.
And what a terrific gift for Easter tomorrow.
That too.
Make the call, make the pledge, and tuck a little note in their basket that says, hey, you're a member.
Yep.
You're part of the Soundbites family. You're part of the Jazz 90.1 family. This is for you.
We got some great gifts that we're giving away with it.
We got some great gifts. You know, we know there are a lot of folks who tell us, oh, my dad loves this, my mom loves. It's always good-looking women come up to you. Oh, my God, you're the guy in the computer show. My dad loves you. Thanks, honey.
Yeah, I get that.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
What, our age?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, right.
I expect nothing else.
We've probably got some second-generation listeners, too.
Yes, we do.
If not third.
And third-generation listeners. I hear parents who come up to me all the time and say, my son or my daughter loves to listen to your show. What a terrific gift for them to say, you're a member now. And sure, if you want to pledge that $1,000, we'll let them sit here on the show for an entire two-hour stretch. Yeah. But if the pledge is less, that's fine. We're not asking for a specific amount. We're asking you to become a member. And wouldn't it be a great thing to say to your child, hey, honey, look, that show, that's your show. We made you a member of that show. Yep. That's our little gift to you. And we're always glad to talk to our members and to see our members. And all you have to do is make that call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free at 1-800-790-0415 or pledge securely online at jazz901.org.
And what folks have to realize, if you folks don't pledge, that's what you're going to hear, dead air.
Yep.
And, you know, we come each week and we tell you how... And I know for you folks, you maybe can't quite relate to it, but we've been on the air, like I said, for 21 years. We've been doing this for a little bit. And, you know, it was thanks to Rob and taking a chance. I mean, a talk show on a jazz station. I mean, that's
not something they have.
I mean, that's
look
really
at their wheel. There's nobody else.
That's
look
like
at the
us.
Lineup. There's nobody else like us on this station.
And right in the middle of a Saturday afternoon. I mean, you know, Rob went out on a limb and said, you know what? I know there's listeners out there because you guys have been on doing this so long that are loyal. They love you. They appreciate the advice that you give them every week. And some folks call and say, you know what? I don't understand half of what you're saying. But boy, you guys have a lot of fun.
And I used to not understand three quarters of what you're saying.
Yeah.
I used to not understand half. Now I don't understand three quarters. Maybe it's really where some of us are going. Look, we don't know the we don't know what we're saying either. You people are asking the questions. You don't know the answer, so we just make it up.
Yeah.
But all you have to do to help us continue to make it up is make the call. It's simple. It takes less than 2 minutes. You get to talk to Steve directly. What could possibly be better than that? And we'd be delighted to welcome you as the latest member of the Jazz 90.1 and Soundbites families. Just make the call, please.
You know, and that's the other thing. You know, we get a lot of folks that will sit there and, you know, like I say, don't understand what we're talking about, like you say, but it's good entertainment. And that we can put a smile on the face, you know, is great for us. Because, you know, we don't get paid for this, folks. We literally, the three of us.
Wait, what?
Didn't you get the memo?
I haven't been getting the checks, but I thought maybe they were just lost in the mail somewhere.
No, your payback is those black jelly beans.
Ooh, black jelly beans.
And rum balls at the end of the year.
That's worth it. It's worth it.
But you know what? Folks will sit there and say, you know, I tell them, you know, we've been doing this for 21 years, yes. And, yeah, we don't get paid for it. They go, what, you crazy? Probably. A friend of mine, she wonders, you know, you're always in a good mood. Yeah, because I'm doing something I love. You know, I can come to this job, and it's not really a job. It's something, you know, I started out my company doing something I love, and it's been able to spill over now onto Soundbites, and the three of us, you know, every Saturday, giving up our days, 2 hours. And we're only asking you to come twice a year.
That's right, and all it takes is a real quick phone call, less than 2 minutes. We're more than happy to take your pledge, make you a member of the Soundbites family. It's real easy to do. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or toll free at 1-800-790-0415. You can pledge securely online at jazz901.org. And remember, Your pledge today means so much to us, rubbing it in the faces of the poker guys. They only made $70 yesterday, a mere $70. And we need to rub their faces in the fact that we can whoop their little butts. I mean, whoop their little butts. And the only way we're going to be able to do that is for you to give us a call and make that pledge. Please become a member of the Soundbites family. Please become a member of Jazz 90.1's family. We're happy to have you as a member. We're happy to make you involved in this, and we'd love to take your pledge. So please make that call now. We're going to give you the time to make that call because we're going to talk to Jim from Greece. Welcome, Jim. What's your question?
I just replaced the batteries in my battery backup system on an uninterruptible power supply, and I'm kind of taking a second look at what should be plugged into the battery receptacles and what should go into the surge
adapter
receptacles.
Yeah. On the UPS?
Pardon?
On the UPS you're talking about?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Definitely
it
on the...
It has four battery protected, backed up receptacles and two surge protectors.
Yeah, surge, I would definitely put the monitor and the CPU.
No, yeah. I put the CPU on the battery backed up ones.
Well,
the ones that
surge? I'd rather have it protected against a surge.
Well, if you put it in the battery backed up, you want the CPU in the ones that will continue to provide power in case of a power interruption. That's the battery backup ones.
Yeah, but except I got four. I'm trying to use three more.
Well, the only things you need to put in there are the CPU and the monitor so that you can see what it is you're shutting down when you're shutting down.
Okay.
You certainly don't need your printer. If you've run out of power, the last thing you need to do is print something.
Or your backup drive.
USB hubs and cable modem and...
Yeah, you don't. Maybe the cable modem, but that's three, and you've got four.
If you're a business, oftentimes you'll put your cable router on it so you can keep working for a while.
But that's your choice. But the reality is, you don't need anything more than the CPUs and the monitors. And the only reason you need the monitors so you can still see what you're doing as you're shutting down.
And most of those UPSs will often come with a USB cord to the computer, so the computer knows when the power has failed and will shut itself down. So if you happen to not be home, it can still shut itself down.
The other good thing about that is the fewer things you have plugged in, the longer the battery lasts. So if you get a 10-minute outage and the only thing you have plugged in there is your one computer, it may well last past that outage and never have to shut down.
Yeah, this has two 20-hour batteries in it.
Right.
Nice.
That's real nice, but the reality still remains that that's probably not at full load. Read the thing and you'll see.
Yeah.
And if it is at full load, you're even better off only plugging one computer in it because now it'll last 5 days.
Okay.
And a lot of the UPS companies have calculators on their website, so you can say, I'm running this and this and this and this, and I need it to last for 5 hours, and they'll say, okay, that's, $1,000.
Yeah, right. But yeah, the reality is you only need to plug in your CPU and your monitor. Okay. Everything else is superfluous when what you're facing is a blackout.
Very good. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jim.
Especially since we're getting close to thunderstorm season. We had a heck of a thunderstorm the other night.
Yeah, my dogs broke out and came upstairs.
Yeah.
They get the whole downstairs. The cats get the upstairs. But that night, the dogs were upstairs in our bed. Suddenly, I was.
And they're not small dogs.
I know they're big 75-pounders, and they were. Normally, I sleep like a baby. Don't go there.
You wake up every 5 minutes and poop your pants.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, right.
No, it disturbs.
Quite a way to put that.
It disturbs the solar panel.
Yeah, right, exactly. So. And Dave is gone now. Bye-bye, Dave. So
storm. That's not a good ending.
And actually, the thunder woke me up, and I heard thumper, thumper, thumper as the dogs came rushing upstairs and jumped into bed. I swear, if she could have gotten under the covers, Athena would have been there. They were curled up with us. Isis was curled up at my head. Athena was lying between the two of us, cuddled in as tight as she could get. It was hysterical. It was just hysterical.
Thank God we're not on camera.
Yeah, it's the truth.
The webcam is down, thankfully, for this week.
Actually, Sparky's here, and he's putting it back up
again. He's putting it back up for us.
He also brought us a raise. Here's your raise. It's more jelly beans.
Oh. We're finally getting paid.
We do want to thank the people who called in. We also we want to thank Colleen for her very generous contribution. Thank you, Colleen. We really thank you. It's folks like you, and this pen does not write. I need a pen that writes. Okay.
I was just saying how good these pens were.
Yeah, except for that one.
Well, they get used a lot.
What the hell?
It writes for me.
This one works.
It's no, just I got you.
It's the operator. Picnic. Problem in chair, not in computer.
That's right.
We have a weird problem on our credit card receipts at the office. It often doesn't sign. You can't sign on it unless you put a piece of paper under it. So something like the thermal paper it prints on and the whatever our desk is made out of, pens don't like it.
Well, I got that the other day. I get that every once in a while. There's this little rubbery-like pad that people have that they, when they hand you a receipt to sign, they put it down right on that.
Yeah. Mm.
To say, oh, you have to, you know, sign it on this, and so we do that. So,
well, sometimes that's an electronic signature capture too.
Well, not in this particular. I looked at this one yesterday. Often I will lift them up to see if they're attached to anything. So this was either ridiculously thin wireless technology that I've never seen, or it was just a pad.
Yep.
We want to thank Colleen. She has joined Fred and Mark and Dee and Norm and Robert and Jim. In being the newest members of the Soundbites family here on Jazz 90.1. Again, thank you so much. We want this drive to end, and the only way it's going to end is if you make that call. It's real simple to do. It's 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Call us toll-free from anywhere in the world, 1-800-790-0415. Or, of course, you can pledge securely online any time of the day or night, Norway, Finland, Brazil,
our guys
Great Britain,
service,
our beloved service members at jazz901.org. But make sure when you do that you put in the comments that it's for Soundbites, and we'd be delighted to hear from you. It's only going to take you a minute. We've got another 20 minutes before the end of the show. Plenty of time to grind the polka guys' faces in the fact that we've whupped their little butts one more week. But we can only do that with your help. And so we look forward to your call. We are going to take a quick break in just a couple of minutes, for just a couple of minutes, or in just a couple of 4 minutes, or I don't know what I'm about to say. But we'll be back with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 39 minutes after the hour. You continue to listen for no discernible reason to the longest-running computer show in the known universe here in one of the 8 greatest jazz stations in North America, Jazz 90.1.
Go.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And Steve Ray is taking another pledge. Thank you so much. We want to thank Brian for his very generous pledge, and it's he actually was smiling when he was done.
Yeah,
it's real easy to do. I'm sorry, I was very loud, so Steve can't hear. Steve, welcome. I'm going to put on my jazz voice now.
There you go.
So good evening, everyone, and welcome to Soundbites. We're here taking your pledges at 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299, a toll-free 1-800-790-0415. Of course, you can pledge securely online at jazz901.org. It only takes a couple of minutes of your time, and we'd be most grateful if you would do that for us before we go back to smooth jazz. Oh, wait, we're not doing smooth jazz.
No. No, as a matter of fact, after this.
Oh, we're the rowdy ones. I forgot.
And after this program is George with the German show.
The German show, which is a terrific show. Mm-hmm. Great music. I don't speak German. As I told George last week, the only phrase of German I know is Warum bist du morgen gesund? Which means, why are you healthy tomorrow? He looked very confused because it was not a real, it's not a real sentence. The only sentence I know in French is Je veux parler avec la plume de ma tante, which apparently means may I please speak to the pen of my aunt.
Huh?
That's the only phrase in French I know.
What does that got to do with anything?
It doesn't. It's the phrase I know.
Okay.
All right. And you folks need to remember that all you have to do is call, pledge, end the drive, and we're back to talking the kind of nonsense we normally talk here every week here on Soundbites. And we want to thank all those of you who've called in. Like I said, I tend to take it personally, and I'm always thrilled. We want to thank our friend Jerry for his very generous donation. And he is the newest member of the family here at Jazz 90.1. We're delighted to for each and every one of you, whatever amount you can manage to give, we're absolutely thrilled to take it in because we know how much you love this show, and you need to know how much we love all of you. So thank you so much.
Which we shouldn't make note that.
Dave was standing there desperately chewing. He wanted to get in on this conversation, but he had a jelly bean in his mouth.
That we will have the webcam back up next week. Sparky was kind enough to come in here and get that straightened out.
Sparky!
I've got the audio stream running, and it's got a frozen picture from the end of last week. But
terrific. There you go.
And there's three people watching a frozen picture.
Like deers in the headlight?
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, we did have a small problem with the firewall here at the station, and Sparky came in and fixed that for us. So the Ustream is back up for the next, 15 minutes. But it will be up next week, and we'll be all set from then on. So we're all thrilled and happy and delighted and joyous in the intensity of the emotion we have for this. So enough of that nonsense. Let's go on to a news item, shall we?
Yes, let's.
Let's do that. The United States government disrupted the weekend and life plans of Corey Albertson and thousands of others like him who earn much of their living playing poker online. For nearly 8 years, Mr. Albertson has camped out every Sunday on his couch with his laptop to play No Limit Hold'em with thousands of other online players at Poker Stars or Full Tilt Poker. He might pocket $500 for the day or lose money, but sometimes he'd win big, as much as $75,000 at a time, adding a fairly nice sum to his income as a freelance writer in Austin, Texas. The U.S. Department of Justice announced Friday it was blocking players in the U.S. from accessing Full Tilt Poker, along with other poker sites, online poker sites, accusing 11 people of bank fraud and of illegally operating gambling websites. The government seized accounts run by the sites that held money stored by players. The crackdown came after years of tension between the sites and the U.S. government, which long held an online poker gambling or online gambling of any sort is illegal. The case could test the claim by the poker site operators that operating a poker site online isn't illegal because, they say, as a game that involves skill, poker is not gambling. I have relatives who agree with that sentiment. Poker is just a way to make a living. The government, for me, it's gambling. For them, not so much.
As long as the house plays by the rules.
Well, exactly.
And nobody cheats.
For years, I'm from an Italian family, so when I was a kid, when supper was over, the women would all go in the kitchen and do whatever they did, and we'd all play poker. And I would sit with them when I was old enough to actually have my own money. I'd essentially donate a 20 to the cause. I'd sit with them and donate a 20, and then I was done. I mean, I'm horrible at poker. I really stink at it. The government action shined a light on a game that has become a vocation for thousands of Americans and pastime for millions of casual players. Online poker has spawned an industry of celebrity players, bloggers, coaches, and television shows sponsored by one of the sites now charged with criminal activity. We understood there were issues, said Jonathan Wine, a professional poker player who runs a business teaching poker online. We never assumed there'd be some type of blackout overnight. Congress passed a law in 2006 that forbids financial institutions from processing financial transactions related to online gambling. That made it much more difficult for websites to accept money from players and pay them back. The indictment last week and accompanying civil complaint alleged that the companies skirted the 2006 ban on electronic transfers related to gambling by working with third parties to create fictitious websites for fake companies to trick banks into thinking that it was not an internet poker site. One was Green 2 Year Green, an apparent environmentally friendly household products company. In later years, the sites invested in small U.S. banks in exchange for their cooperation in processing funds, the government alleges. So our question to you, should the government crack down on online poker? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ, that's 966-5299, or of course, toll free at 1-800-790-0415. I personally believe that most of the problem is that they were more interested in the fact that most of these places are offshore and therefore aren't getting any of the tax dollars from it. But I don't know that. That's just my personal belief. I think that that I understand that there are many people who have problems, gambling problems, addiction problems, but for the vast majority of other people, yeah, not so much. So I don't know how I feel about it. I play poker, but I don't play online. I'm not that good. I know that. I have a number of friends who actually make a decent amount of money playing poker online. Some of them make as much as a second income. I mean, you know, it's like a second job for them.
I'd go bankrupt.
Yeah. For me, it's just if the old poker saying: if you look around and you don't see the fish, you're the fish. That's me.
Same here. Well, I don't even know how to play poker.
I apparently don't either. I know the rules, but apparently I don't know how to play the game.
I don't even know the rules.
I like to play. I enjoy playing, but I play nickel dime, right? Because then I don't lose a lot of money. I'm just I like to sit in on a game. As Matt Buff says in the Soundbites IRC chat room, it's recreation. Absolutely, it's recreation. That's how I use it. I don't have the skills to make it a job. I just play for fun. But apparently there are a lot of people who do. I mean, you know, the government maybe shouldn't be involved in people's fun. But on the other hand, if there is in fact real gambling going on illegally,
wait a minute. What is the lottery? Thank you very much. That's a form of gambling. You're taking a chance?
That's a legal form of gambling.
Yeah, because the government says.
And that's real gambling. There's no skill in the lottery. Trust me on this one. Well, actually, there is. I mean, because the random number generators that create the lottery numbers are, in fact, only pseudo-random. You can't get real random on a computer. So if you understand the algorithm that created it, you can win pretty regularly. The problem is understanding that algorithm.
There was a story on the news a few weeks ago about someone may have been able to crack the algorithm, and so they can look at the code number on the back of the scratch-off tickets and know if it's a winner or not based on the production run.
Right. Yeah, as friend of the show Chris Reich says, lottery is a tax on people who failed math. That is the truth.
Somebody's got to win.
Except for my father. My father, God bless him, won almost every way. Did I see that one? Did I get that one?
Yeah, and those people,
no, I didn't.
These people that win multiple times just mess up the odds for the rest of us.
Yeah.
But, somebody's got to win, and that's, you know, a dollar in a dream. You and 12 million other people. See, what I always would joke about is you get enough people together, and there have been lottery clubs that have done this, and you give them $10 or $12 million, and you buy every possible number.
Right.
But then the lottery changed their rules so that they cannot take automated entries. You have to manually fill out the card for every number you want to play.
Right.
Because apparently too many people won the lottery that way. And they don't just win the jackpot. They'll win all the other 5 out of 6s and 4 out of 6s. And
my father and I, every Sunday at breakfast, used to fight over who get the check. I wanted it. He wanted it. So he would always say, no, it's mine this week. I won the lottery. And I always go, you know, not for nothing, but you're full of it. And he would show me the ticket every week, $20, $30, $40. He wasn't winning hundreds of thousands, but every week it was like breakfast.
How many tickets
breakfast
did he play,
New York.
Though?
Two.
Oh.
Two numbers.
I have an expletive week in my mouth.
Yeah, exactly. All right, our next caller is George from Greece, New York. Welcome, George. What's your question?
I have a two-part question that pertains to downloading programs.
Yeah.
And I'm talking in particular about a free copy that I get from a finance company of TurboTax, which I have downloaded. It works fine. But being a little bit conservative, I kind of like to keep a copy. And I'm asking, can I legally record that, say, onto a CD and use it at a later time if there's a need to?
Well, let me just say
the second part of the question that makes me wonder about this is, if I could do that, then what prevents someone from using that copy and passing it on or selling copies, which I have no intent to do, but it just makes it doubtful that I could do it in the first place.
Right. Well, let me start by saying I'm not a lawyer, and I don't even play one on television anymore. So here's the deal. It's a gray area as to whether or not you can make a copy. It's never been gone over in court. My suggestion is if you're making an archival copy for just to make sure if your computer ever dies, you've got a copy of the program, that's okay because it's just for you.
And many times companies like this will sell you the right to download it again. And we'll actually tell you, you should back this up on CD just in case.
Right. In terms of selling it, giving it away, whatever, whatever, to another person, that's where the law comes in. You do not have the right to do that. And if that program reports back the machine it's running on, you can easily get in trouble.
And if it requires a serial number to install, that's typically a single-use serial number and registered with them, so that if a second person tries to use the same serial number, it won't work.
Right. So so go ahead and make a backup copy for yourself. If you sell it, be prepared to, you know, if you can't do the time, don't do the crime.
Now, I have no desire to sell it, but it was the installation as the key.
Yeah, and that should not be a problem, particularly if you write to them and say, I've made a backup archival copy, and maybe you write to them and say, my machine died, I bought a new machine, whatever. Listen, we got to go. That's it for another week. I want to thank Fred and Mark and Dee and Norm and Robert and Jim and Colleen and Brian and Jerry and David for their generous donations. We thank you so much for becoming a member of the Soundbites family. We'll see you next week, the longest-running computer show in the known universe. We are Soundbites. And we are right here on your station, member-supported Jazz 90.1.